Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Okay, it's time to get started. Great to see everyone here. And I love you. We'll start with our key point reminders from last week. Ty did a great job of discussing how evangelism is going to cost us something by how we spend our time and resources. We also discussed how we must choose faith over fear, that we all have both of these qualities in us. We just must have more faith in God than fear in man, or otherwise we will not be bringing up anything spiritual or inviting anyone to church. We also discussed how we must seek discomfort, that to grow, we must work out of our comfort zone. So that's going to create some discomfort. But that's a good thing. That's a sign that we are growing. So some may say, there's no way I could bring up something spiritual or invite someone to church. But when someone accepts that, okay, this is expected to be uncomfortable to start with, but the more you do it, the easier it gets, and that's how you grow. We also discussed how we must practice a God-driven life. And when we do that is when we will focus on what is most important, which is our, what? It starts with the M. Yeah, I heard somebody say that. Mission. So that's when we focus on what's most important, which is our mission. Opposed to an earthly driven life, when we focus on all these little distractions around us in life of things that just doesn't matter. We also discussed how we must have an eternal perspective, that this life we're living in now, we're just in the tiny tip of the iceberg, like the iceberg picture we looked at. But that almost 100% of our time is going to be spent on the other side of death. So that's an eternal perspective. And then finally, we discussed how when one soul is converted, many can be. We looked at the example of the kernels on the ear of corn. Now it just takes the one kernel to plant that's going to produce hundreds, many of kernels just on one ear of corn. So it multiplies, replicates. Has anyone got to give out a invite card yet? Okay. Well, when you do, get with me and let me know what happened, how it goes. And I'd like to share that next time, just so we can encourage each other and learn from each other. Today we will be discussing how to start the conversation with evangelism. How do we get started? So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is Acts 8, 27 through 30. So Philip asked the eunuch a question, and from there great things happened. Philip opened his mouth, and a Bible study took place soon after that. So like we talked about, evangelism, it's not rocket science. And we see many examples of this in the book of Acts, where someone just made one little simple comment or one question, and that opened the door for opportunity. I feel like it's almost like the Lord has blessed us with where we live at here, to be in the middle of a mission hotspot, for us to be able to evangelize from West Huntsville. You know, you think about it, with Huntsville being recognized as the number one city to live in the entire United States, it's almost like He's bringing people here for us to be able to share the gospel with them. Almost like this, with the plan, with us being more evangelistic in our area. No, it's exciting. I know several here work in mapping geography for their career, to be able to look at what it looked like around the building just a few years ago to what it looks like today. You know, it's just exploded. The other week I read an article, and you may have read this, where the new census data had came out, and it said, out of all 67 counties in the entire state of Alabama, the one county that most people are moving to, is this one, the one we're in, Madison County. And it said, on average, 25 people are coming here every day. So that means yesterday 25 came, today 25 are coming, tomorrow 25 more are coming. And then Limestone County had the highest percentage of growth, which is next door, and we have a lot of members that live there. But the point is, the best time to invite someone to church is when they move. You know, that's when all of their previous church connections have been severed, they've been cut. No matter how strong or weak they were, they no longer have that church connection they had when they move. Even if it was across town. And has been mentioned, today more than ever, people are more willing to try a different church and go to one that is different from what they'd grew up going and devoted to their entire life. So why not them come to the Lord's church? And then we say, well, how do we know if they've just moved here? Well, we see the new people that come in that we work with, or new people at school, or our new neighbors. But we'll be discussing that some more in an upcoming class. So let's spend a few minutes at the water. We see Jesus gives us a fishing example in the Scriptures, the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 19, of how to evangelize. He told his first disciples to follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We know some of the apostles were fishermen by trade. But Jesus told them, I want to make you fishers of men. He also wants us to be fishers of men. And he gives some great examples in the Scriptures of being fishers of men. So let's break it down and see what we can learn from it. So the first one, we must go to the pond. Mark 16:15, Jesus says, go into all the world and share the gospel. So we must go to the pond to fish. We can't catch the fish if we're not at the pond. And they knew, the apostles, that they had to go to where the fish are. I loved growing up in the country. I miss it. I realize now how many valuable life lessons I learned. But we had a big pond back behind our house. And it's just a walk down the hill. There's something I knew about fishing that if I wanted to catch fish, I had to go to the pond where the fish are. And I really enjoyed fishing. But it's the same with evangelism. You know, we have to be where the souls are. We need to put ourselves around people. How do we do that? Well, just through our daily routine, the dentist or the hair salon or the grocery store or at work or school, get-togethers, sports, interest. Paul mentioned the senior citizen center. You know, any way we can put ourselves around souls to be able to talk to souls. And then next, we must cast the line. John 21:6, Jesus told them to cast their nets to catch fish. And they got so many of them, they couldn't even pull them all in. So it's not enough just to be around the people or the fish. We have to actually cast our line to be able to catch any. The fish are not going to just jump out of the water into the boat with us. Of course, in an ideal world, people would just pour into the church building asking for Bible studies. But we know most people will not come through these doors unless they have been given a invitation. So we must invite them. We have to say something to reap something. Especially in a world today that emphasizes possessions and independence and self-indulgence instead of sacrifice and self-denial. So they knew they had to present something to the fish to get them to bite. One poll surveyed people and asked, why did you start church? 85% said because someone invited them. And we're not responsible or not whether they come. Our responsibility is to at least try and offer and sow the seed and give the invite. We've did our job, so that's a win for us whether or not they respond positively. But talking about fishing, sometimes when we went fishing, we would not even use bait. We would just put the shiny hook into the water, and that was enough to attract the fish. Just that reflection of light in the dark water was enough for them to get the hook and go for it. And so sometimes we could even catch fish without bait, just the shiny hook. It's the same with evangelism. Except our bait that we're using is an eternal home in heaven. You know, who doesn't want that? But many of us already have fish on the line that are caught. They just need to be reeled in and taught. It's been said, if you want something to remember, something that's important, to repeat it. So I'll repeat that. Many of us already have fish on the line that are caught. They just need to be reeled in and taught. Meaning, a lot of us already have the relationships with people. All we're needing to do is just the invite to church or to offer to present a Bible presentation. But we must prepare before we go fishing. So we know we have to be around the people, the souls, the fish, but we also have to cast our line. We have to say something when we are around them. Okay, next. We must bring the tackle box. Glenn had mentioned, made reference to this the other day. 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. So we must be prepared. To be successful, we must have the tackle box. I must prepare to bait and catch the fish. When I went fishing, I would try to get the best live choice worms or some good chicken liver, among some other good things I like to use. And it's the same with evangelism. We must have a plan of what we're going to say, what we're going to do to invite them to church or to present the Bible. And we know most of the fish we're not going to catch. There's a lot of fish out there. Sometimes I would sling a fish feed out into the water to try to stir up interest. This is technically called chumming. And you can see the root word in chumming is chum. You know, we want to be a friend. When we're not friendly to people around us or loud or obnoxious, they're going to get as far away from us as they can, just like the fish do. But most of the fish was not interested in the bait I had to offer. And I had to be patient and wait a while. And some days I didn't catch any. But just because I didn't catch any, I didn't say, okay, well, forget this. I didn't catch something. I'm never going fishing again the rest of my life. You know, I was still always looking for that one fish that might be interested in what I wanted to share with them. But it's the same with evangelism. We also have to be chumming. And we have to be friendly to people to be able to build the relationships so that we can talk to them and invite them. And as it's been said, people don't know or don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And that's the reason the team will be getting together later today to write the compassion cards, to be able to show people that we do care. Okay, the next one. Beware of the weeds. 1 Peter 5:8. Be watching, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So we must avoid getting into the weeds before the gospel is shared. When our fish gets deep into the weeds, it's hard to get them out. And it takes much longer. And we also risk losing them for good. Yes?
Thinking about that, I'm reminded of scripture where it says the sons of the world, the wicked, are more cunning than it seems the sons of the light. As I compare that to beware of the weeds, a good fisherman knows not to throw a lure or a hook into the middle of the weeds. Yeah. But a good fisherman knows how to get right up next to the boundary and catch the fish and keep it from going back in the weeds. To me, that's a metaphor to admonish us Christians to be just as clever and forward-thinking when it comes to what we might perceive as difficult people that might initially put us off, but once we start talking, all of a sudden we're having a great conversation, and hopefully the next thing that happens is a Bible study, and so on from there. So it's not like you avoid the weeds altogether. You just know how to get right up next to it to put your message out.
Yeah, that's a good point. For the ones that didn't hear it, Fred's just saying we can't obviously avoid the weeds altogether. It's going to, we just have to maneuver them as far as being careful with them. So that's good. Thank you. But we don't want to lose our fish just because they wanted to get down into the weeds. Now, our first priority is to share the gospel. And then after they do obey the gospel, they'll be learning more over time. You know, they're a child of God as they grow. But I like the way Rob explained it to us. He said, in regards to this, what we need to do is, what was the word he used? Starts with a D? Defer. Yeah. Just like Jesus, all the examples he showed us, Jesus did not respond immediately either. So we need to beware of the weeds. We need to defer. And this can be easier said than done. Just in situations I've been in, when you know the answer, you automatically want to respond. But then they respond, and then it goes back and forth, and it gets deep, and then contentious, and so just defer. Okay, the next one. Keep looking for the best places to fish. It goes back to Mark 16:15. Jesus said, go everywhere to share the gospel. So they also learned the best places to go fishing. So if some fish wasn't biting over here in this spot, then they would come over here to this other spot and try to catch some. And it's the same with evangelism. We have a lot of opportunities around us. And we must be always ready for an opportunity, just like with the invite cards. But we can never be content, and we must always have fish lines in the water to fish. And speaking of that, it was just easy with growing up thinking about all these analogies with fishing. Hope it's not too many, but we also had a trot line. That's a trot line's a main line we ran across the pond, and then it had like 10 smaller lines hanging from it, you know, with the hook on each one. So then all of a sudden, instead of me just sitting there with, you know, one pole, one line in the water, I have 10 lines in the water. So I'll be able to catch more fish the more lines we have in the water. That's the reason with the contact card, you know, it's suggested to try to come up with 10 instead of just one. It just increases our chances to catch more. Okay, the next one. Patience. We have all heard how fishing requires patience. Often we're not going to get a bite right away. And sometimes when we do get a bite, it's going to manage to get away. But we must never give up. I like, again, being fresh on our mind, the way Rob said it, once a lost soul gets on this contact list, it doesn't come off until they obey the gospel. Until that fish is caught. There's nothing more valuable than a soul. Okay, the next one. Urgency. John 9:4. Jesus says, we must do the work we have to do while we still can, because there's coming a day when we won't be able to work. So another lesson we can learn from fishing in the scriptures here is urgency. We know we have to be patient, but we have to do it with urgency. If I left my pole unattended or didn't check the trot line, going back frequent enough, the fish would manage to get off and again be gone forever. And sometimes something would even get them off the line before I could get to them. Like on the trot line, we had snapping turtles. And if I didn't stay close to that opportunity and get back, that turtle would get the fish off the line before I could get to it. So it's the same with evangelism. If we're talking with someone about spiritual things, we need to have that same sense of urgency, because they could talk with their family or friends and then kind of get some misinformation or misguided, or go online and do some research and get spiritual error reading. So we need to have that sense of urgency as far as not letting them, to prevent them from being able to get away in that sense. To stay on top of the opportunity. And next, we must practice fishing. James 1:22 says, it's not enough to just hear the word. We must put it into practice. They practiced their technique of how they got fish. Whether it was hooks or nets. If one way didn't work, they'd try a different way. Or some situations required a different way to do it than another situation. So it's like evangelism. Again, it takes practice. Sometimes it'll be difficult, and sometimes it's going to have success, and some days we won't. And similar to like Fred had mentioned, some fish are going to be bottom feeders. They're going to be really hard to get, some people. And then there's going to be some up close to the water. You can see right at the surface of the water. It's going to be much easier to get. But the goal is not to lose any souls. But they knew the excitement of catching a fish. You know, they would carefully bring them in until they were safe in the boat. They would encourage each other. Just think about Noah and his family being safe in the boat. And it's the same with evangelism. You know, it's exciting, like Keith had mentioned, when we do get a positive response and when we're able to be involved with that. To get them safe in the boat, the church, and then to allow Jesus to do the cleaning. So we want to rejoice, Luke 15:7, when a sinner repents. We know we still have work to do even after they obey the gospel, and that's the purpose of the new converts class, for them to still be able to learn and grow. Okay, so we'll leave the water now, and we'll spend just a couple of minutes at the garden. Galatians 6:7. Whatever we sow, we will reap. Verse 9. So don't grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So it's a similar example with the garden. We had growing up, another life lesson for me. You know, for something to grow, I had to go up to where we had the garden and plant the seeds. If I kept the seeds at home in the bag to myself, then there would be no harvest, no reaping. But then for something to grow, we had to put the effort in to actually plant the seeds and work the soil. So it does take effort. But the other thing is, the more seeds we planted, the more harvest we got. It's kind of like the trot line, the more lines in the water. Gary, if we planted a whole bunch of watermelon and a little bit of squash, what do you think we got?
Watermelon.
So the more of what we planted is the more we would reap. There's a direct correlation. Okay. A while back, there was an AP lesson headline, Apologetics Press, that made me click on the link. And some of y'all may have read this article, which I really appreciate Apologetics Press. I have that in my favorites bookmarked. They have a great search engine. I've learned a lot from it and have sent some links to other people. So it's a great resource that West Huntsville supports here as well. But it was titled, What Can We Learn from Atheists? So I thought, okay, what can I learn from an atheist? It says the main thing we can learn from atheists, and this was from Eric Lines, is atheists rightly point out how unloving and cowardly Christians are who do not evangelize. Atheists do not respect that at all. If you believe that there is a heaven and a hell, and people could be going to eternal life in hell, and you think it's not really worth telling them because it might make it a little socially awkward, how much do you have to hate someone to try not to convert them? Or on the other hand, how much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not bother telling them? If Christians believe what they say they believe about eternal life and eternal death in Matthew 25:46, then they will teach the gospel to others in an urgent, kind, loving, Christ-like manner. Of all religions, the Lord's church should be the most evangelistic church in existence. And we used to be, as Rob had mentioned. So we should be wanting to share our faith and the message with others from God of how to be saved. And the scriptures tell us that's how the early church was. So we can't wait for the lost to come to us. You know, the world's not going to evangelize itself. We have to go to them. Even though it does feel safer and more comfortable for us here at church and around other Christians or in our home or family, our yard, you know, we have to get out to them. Who shall I fear? So I'm on God's side, which means He's on my side. So we're on His team. So I don't want to only be the best soul winner that I can be. That would be in relative terms. But I want to be the best soul winner that the Lord has or that He has ever had. So that's the goal that we should all have, is thinking in that mentality. You know, I want you to encourage me and I want to encourage you. And let's talk about the souls we are working on and share best practices. Okay. The best way to start the conversation with evangelism is people that are close to us. We know every person has their own unique circle of family and friends. And it's good to think about our circle as being our own personal mission field. It's on us. No one else can influence someone in our circle better than we can. And think about it. If somebody's in our circle, that means that we're in their circle. So it goes back to when one is converted, then that opens up everybody in their circle as an opportunity that they could convert. So it just really can multiply. But the ones in our circle already trust us. No, they're not suspicious. And they don't think it's odd to be having a conversation with us. And they know us. If they're in our circle, they probably know that we're a Christian already. Acts 10:24. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. He'd called together people in his circle. So the best form of advertising is personal advertising. We could drive past a restaurant and not ever go to it. But if somebody in our circle suggests it, says, hey, you know, it's be good or you should go, then we'll stop by and go when somebody we know and trust tells us about it. So again, they'll accept an invitation from us being in their circle that they would not accept from someone else outside of their circle. Another Bible example of relationships to Christ, John 1:40-42, shows where Peter was brought to Jesus by his brother Andrew. Again, in the family. So relationships are a major reason people will eventually affiliate with a church. So since relationships are key, how do we make relationships or friends? So let's look at a few ways that we can make relationships or friends. The first one is take the initiative. Most people are comfortable in their circle and will not be having the mindset so much of looking for friends outside of their circle. So that makes it a challenge. If we're not in somebody's circle, we're going to have to take the initiative to say something to them. To say even hi. Even if somebody doesn't look at us when you're walking by. And that makes it hard. I've tried this. If somebody doesn't even acknowledge you walking by, it's hard just to say hi. So it takes practice. But the goal is, since relationships we see are key, we want to be trying to make connections with people. That needs to be our mindset. To be friendly, the small talk, and remembering their name, and using it often. We may even have to write it down. You know, it's about being genuine, interested in them. Our goal is we would like to become part of their circle. The next way we can make relationships or friends is by rapport. We don't use that word often. That is an attitude of mutual acceptance as they are, without trying to reform them up front. So before they can consider changing. So we do this by listening and by complimenting, expressing our feelings, you know, just being transparent. And then eventually we could do an invite to them. So just being a friend. And I've saw this happen with people at a restaurant we might go to, even customers that we frequently see that we normally wouldn't talk to each other. But then when I say something to them, from that point on, every time we see each other, we acknowledge and talk to each other. So it's starting it, you know, that infancy of a connection and a relationship. Okay, the next one kind of is similar or ties into what we just said is don't be afraid to speak. The song you may have heard, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, who shall I fear? He is my strength, the defense of my life. Who shall I fear? So it's about being strong and courageous and not being afraid to speak. Remembering that the Lord's on our side. So what do we have to be afraid of? I'd like to jump over to some conversation starter examples in these last few minutes that we have. The Lord, real quick, gives us three ways of how we can build relationships. The first one is spend time with people. And this is just some easy stuff that you would already know. We just have to think about it. Again, it goes back to the fish. We're not going to catch fish if we're not spending time with them. Just like Jesus did in Matthew 9 with Zacchaeus. He didn't go to Zacchaeus' house because he was hungry and to eat. He was wanting to build a bridge to Zacchaeus with a relationship. And we can do that in so many ways, a thousand ways. We can do that with people, with tennis or pickleball or golf or fishing or interest, different interest. Like Keith said again, about becoming what we need to become to build that relationship. The second thing Jesus shows us we can build a relationship is by practicing hospitality. Again, that was mentioned. And by being available when people hurt, so that they can see that we care. And not to forget the importance of religious contacts that we have. People that are already would claim to be a Christian. That is a gold mine of people that we can be talking to. Many of them are already, they're sincere, just as sincere as we are. They just need to be shown the truth in some of the ways they've been taught. Okay, before the bell rings, I'd like to give a few examples of how we can start the conversation. One of them is, it was up there. Hey, I want to invite you to something, while giving them an invite card that shows the invitation of the church on it. I'd like for you to come to church with me Sunday. And if they're interested, you can get more details. It's at 9 o'clock. The directions are on the card. We can walk in together. You can sit with me. And if they still seem hesitant, you can let them know that what to expect. We just do a cappella singing, you know, some prayer, scripture, sermons, and the Lord's Supper. You know, they may be hesitant depending on their background and what they've been to and what they're thinking it may be like. And to kind of give them the basics to know what to expect can take that reservation off of them. Another thing we could say is, hey, I want to invite you to something. Again, while giving them an invite card, maybe with the Bible presentation side showing, if you're ready at that stage, I have a great presentation of the simple theme of the Bible. It has really helped me understand the Bible. When could we get together? So it's just something that easy to start it. Another example is you could say, I've started presenting a Bible presentation. It shows the big picture of the Bible. When could I show it to you? It's really helped me. So again, there's so many ways you can do what's comfortable and makes sense to you. That was just a few examples. Ty'll be up next week. Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.